So to continue on where we left off last time, so we were talking about a lot of different cases involving walls and where the tomb exists or doesn't exist, above 10, below 10. That was the primary primary discussion. And then we're trying to figure out what the status is. Somebody has been pushed out of the Eruv, and the question is, how are they allowed to return? So normally we said the short answer is that you can't. Once you're out, you only get to Adama and you're stuck. Then we were introduced to two interesting ways to solve this issue. One of the ways was that if you're actually not beyond two amot from the tchum, you can actually re-enter, because whenever you're outside of it, whenever you leave the tchum, you're allowed to have your dalat amot. If your dalat amot happened to overlap into the tchum, that would also allow you to go back in. The other one we have is the advice of the people of the chum of Mechosa, who said, since you know we let you move out of your dalat amot to go to the bathroom, so what you should do is just wait till you go to the bathroom, and then you can make your just make sure you go to the bathroom while you're inside the tchum, and then that way you will have solve the issue, because once you're inside the tchum, by a permitted way, then you're allowed to continue on within the tchum. So that would be a way that you could solve the issue as well. So then the case that we're immediately discussing on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Bet and Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, we've got the case where Nechemiah had gone outside, and the question is, are you allowed to make an air of a, make a wall of people to allow him to come back inside? So we said this all relates back to the argument we had in our Mishnah about if somebody is taken out by non-Jews and placed into a pen or a stable against their will by non-Jews, that the walls that are then created, do they work or not? So we were concluding that it seemingly does work. So then the question then is at the end, if that works, then the question is, So therefore, the case when Nechemiah had actually walked outside because he was too engrossed in thought, so you would be able to build a human wall. So then the question is: if you build a human wall, so will this help or not? So it all comes down to: are we allowed to right? So first, so that'd be for the law of Rabbi Gamliel, then the human wall will certainly work. So, but Odilma, again, we're on the Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, 6 words in. So, Odilma, but the low malo gavreski. Another maybe the one they weren't talking about the case where they about the question of the deaf people, rather the question, or if they could fill it in. The question was, the question was, is halacha like Rabbi Eliezer or not like Rabbi Eliezer in regards to when you redraw your daladam? Once you leave the tchum, how do you draw? Right? Do you draw it with you at the center, and therefore you're automatically, therefore if you're within two, you're good or not? So that's the question. So Pita, so the case is, are we talking about where you're filling in with people, or are we talking about the case of Rabbi Eliezer? So Pshita, Bidlo, Malo, Gavreskin. Clearly, it's not talking about a case where you can fill the whole area with people. Tizak, Bata, Bidlo, Malo, Gavreskin. Or if you said you're allowed to do the human wall trick and fill with people, my Tibale, what would be the problem? Because you built a wall of people, and now he's allowed to come in. So what's the issue? So Hamarav, Halakar, Mgamli, Albadir, Visahor, Visvina. And did it say lochas were like Rabbi Gamliel in regards to the pen in the stable and vote? Elavadab dlo malu gavreskin. Rather, it must be a case where the distance was too far to make to the human wall. Would Rabbi Eliezer come by lay? And the issue is about Rabbi Eliezer. So the question is, so now we're going to try to figure out what a religious opinion actually is and how does it work. So. Dekanami tekamar le likanes. So what was Rav Nachman's statement to Rav Chista? He said yikanes, let him go in. Ma yikanes la blo mechitza. He says you can simply go in. Does it not mean that you can go in without the use of a mechitza? So that would seemingly be the case then. That all you need is that mechitza, and then we're good. Right, then you don't even mechitza. He says enter. He didn't say enter by means of using the human wall. He said enter. So that means we fell held in Hilfiger Eliezer then. So Itve Ram Nachman Bar Yitzchak LaRava. So then Rami Yitzchak is questioning whether or not we're allowed to make this human wall trick or not. So here's the case. Nafla dofna lo imid ba adam behema v'kelim. If a wall fall down on Shabbos, you shouldn't put a person, animal, or utensils there to block off the space. Lo yuskof the mita the frost less adin. Similarly, you shouldn't upright a bed in order to spread a sheet over it. The fish ain't sit ohal rab b'tchila b'yom tov v'ain sarach l'or Shabbat. And you also can't upturn a bed and to put a canopy over it. Think canopy bed here. Did I cut out there or still clear? Okay. I guess I'm still good because nobody doesn't say anything. Okay.
Yeah, we can still hear you. No, okay. We're good.
Okay, it's making sure. So. All right. Okay. So we're talking about the canopy beds and making a temporary tent. So, therefore, you're not allowed to make it on, and making a tent is usher to do on Shabbat and Yom Tov. So, therefore, you're not allowed to do this. We're comparing the case of fixing a wall that fell down by placing something in the way of it to the case of where you put up a temporary tent, which is problematic. So this also runs into an issue of, are you allowed to, let's say, you know, it's like your kids like making forts. So the question is, so kids are allowed to do so, but are parents? And the answer is that, well, no. That parents should be making those nice, you know, the forts, the blankets and chairs and things. So kids do it. It's not necessarily problematic, but it's generally, frowned upon for, my friend, and most likely forbidden for adults to do so. Again, for a particular question, please consult Rabbi Karapkin if this becomes relevant. One primary thing to look at this is, let's say if people now have their outdoor tents, whether it be for sukkahs or it be in terms of because you're having a backyard minion, so you should make sure that your tent is up beforehand, not that you start spreading it out over the frame on Shabbos. But if you have, let's say, a retractable awning, though, so the potential kula, assuming that you have at least a tefach covered, then that's considered to be there's already a partial awning, and then you could extend the rest of the way. Therefore, let's say you wanted to have your sukkah or your your tent more open, let's say you had it rolled back mostly but not the full way, then you could be able to finish and roll it back the rest of the way, even on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Okay.
So, Rabbi, is there any leniency to get a goy to do that for you, like we talk about with respect to heat and things like that inside a shul?
I'm not certain. Okay. I don't know. I'll try to find that out. Trying to think if the Isser is Durbanan, normally we would allow it. I'm not sure.
Okay, I don't want to slow you down. That's fine.
Yeah, no,
that's
fine.
I also have to go wake up my son. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay. So Amarlay, at Amar Li Meha, Vana Durban Le Meha. You said that you can't make human wall. One said you can't. Because we said, Osa Adam et Chaviro Dofen Kadesh Shiochal Vishta Visha. So you say, a person may position his fellow as a wall, so he may eat, drink, or sleep in a sukkah. Vizkov et Tamita Vifros Olaf Tasadin Kadesh Lipo Chama Alameit Ba'al Ochle. So you're saying that you're not allowed to make a wall. You just proved from this other case. But I'm going to prove the case where you can. Because in the case, let's say, if a person, you're missing a wall of your sukkah. And the final wall only needs to be three tefachim, which is pretty small. So most people are broader than that. So you simply have your friend stand there as the third wall, and there you go. Now you got kosher sukkah. So even though normally it wouldn't have been, because you stood there, now it's kosher. And similarly, you'd be able to, if somebody passed away outdoors and you don't want to leave the body, in the sun, so you could bring a bed out and then spread a covering over the bedposts in order so that the person will the dead body will not be in the sun. Also, you can also do a similar thing to prevent food from being spoiled. You can also put up a covering for that purpose. So how's it possible? Like, one says you can make these temporary type tents, and one says you can't. Lokasha, how Rabbi Eliezer, Harabana. That's not a problem. One of these opinions is Rabbi Eliezer. The other one is the opinion of the Rabbanan. Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, the Kakach alone, this is referring to window shutters. So literally, it sounds like a window cork, because these were not like modern shutters, which are, that are attached and have hinges. Instead, they're just, you literally just like stick it on and then you pull it off. So more like a cover than like a swinging shutter. And Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Bezman, Shekashur, V'talui, Poka Kimbo. So Rabbi Eliezer says, as long as there's a string connecting it and it's hanging down, then you're allowed to use it. V'imlav, Enka Poka Kimbo. But if it's not, connected by a rope or something else, you can't close the shutter. But Rachamim say, either way, there's no problem filling of shutting the window with the shutter, because it's only you're constructing a temporary wall, and therefore it would be mutar, similar to the case we had by the sukkah. But is this really so? What about what Rabbi Baruch Hanan said in Rabbi Yochanan? Kol modim she'ein osin ohel arav et chiyav yom tov. But didn't Rabbi Baruch Hanan say in Rabbi Yochanan that everybody agrees that you can't make a temporary tent from the outset on Yom Tov? In Sarach Lamar l'Shabbat, in Kal V'Chomer, you don't need to say so for Shabbos. Lo nechleku el lohosif. No, they didn't argue with Rabbi Yochanan doesn't argue with Chachamim. Rather, he's adding. Rabbi Elazar, his statement is meant to be said in addition to Rabbi Elazar Chachamim. So, Rabbi Elazar Omer in Mosif Yom Tov in Sarach Lamar b'Shabbat. Because Rabbi Eliezer says you can't add on Yom Tov and Kol V'Chomer on Shabbos. Of course, you're allowed to use these type of shutters on Shabbos. So then Kol V'Chomer, it's allowed to be used on Yom Tov too. Ela lo kasha. No, so it's not a problem. Hak Rabbi Meir, Hak Rabbi Yehuda. One falls like Rabbi Meir, and one falls Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, as we learned in a Mishnah. If you used a, so the issue isn't really arguing about what thought it was about something else, is that the Brit is talking about kids using an animal as a wall for sukkahs. Rimeir Posel, Rabbi Yehuda Makshir. Rimeir says that's kasher. Rabbi Yehuda says no good. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kasher because Rimeir says no good because, animals might move, which would then mean that you no longer have your sukkah. But Rabbi Yehuda says as long as you currently have a wall, that's fine. Rameir to kapasil hatam amalav mechitzi. Rameir says no good. It means that this animal is encountered as a counter being mechitza. Achashari to love midi kavid. So Rameir says that the wall doesn't work here. But the rest of sukkah, it's because you can't use a human being as mechitza. So here. Right, so then, what's the difference between the case of the sukkah versus the case on Shabbos? Hafashari delav bidekavid, because on the case of on Shabbos, you're not really making a wall because you didn't actually do any. Like, let's say the case we're referring to with the shutters is that you didn't actually construct anything anew. It's no temporary thing, so therefore that's why it would be allowed. For you to come off your hatam alma mechitzi v'achaser. But Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the animal counts as a wall for sukkah, so therefore he would say that means that it creates a full wall. And therefore, you should be forbidden from making that type of partition on that type of wall on Shabbos. But just, bro, is this really so? Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that animals are full walls for everything, and that Rabbi Yehuda is not? Amar just shamat leila Rabbi Meir behema. I understand. I'm going to say that. Rabbi Meir says no good because the animal. But because, animals are much harder to control and they might suddenly try to walk off. But who's to say that, you know, that a human will walk off, or that the, you know, how about utensils? Like, they can't move on their own. Like, they're not living beings. So what's the issue? But two, Rabbi Meir, Libra Demand, even more so, we're talking about Rabbi Meir's opinion. So regarding to creation of these temporary structures. According to whose opinion is he? It's according to Rabbi Lezer, according to Chachamim. If he's according to Rabbi Eliezer, right, who was Rabbi's teacher, then there's a problem, because Rabbi Eliezer made it prohibited even for the case of the window shutter, which is only temporary. So how could he say that you're okay now for making the sukkah wall with the animal? So Eliezer Rabbanan. Rather, it must be according to the opinion of the Chachamim. And the Rabbanan say you're allowed to add a temporary, you're allowed to add, so they didn't say that you're allowed to make it from scratch. They're saying that you currently have an existing structure and you're currently extending it a little bit by closing up a window. But as in, did you have a wall there and before? Yes, just I just closed the window. It's not the same thing as, you know, as putting up a new wall. So Allah Vaharaban. Rather, actually both being according to the opinion of the Chachamim. So actually, let's rephrase the case of using the utensils and animals and everything for walls, there really is no problem. It's all according to the Chachamim's opinion. Rather, we're talking about the third wall versus the fourth wall. The third wall for a sukkah, you're actually creating something, right? It goes from being not a sukkah to being a sukkah. Whereas for the fourth wall, you know, you're doing extensions, therefore it would be permitted, as opposed to when you're doing the third wall where it would be prohibited. So, Dekanami, you can even infer this from the right as well. Dekani, as it says, in the right side, Nafal Dofna, Shomina, it says, its wall fell, and which means that this wall was a important wall, not simply a wall that was just, not to say that you had as happens more frequently due to Corona and COVID-19, that you start partitioning out spaces, between tables, but that's not like a real, that's not a full wall. It's just, it's not a permanent wall. It's a temporary one to begin with. And like the structure is not going to collapse because, your movable plastic wall that's not load bearing and doesn't do anything and you just wheeled in 3 seconds ago. So that type of wall we're not worried about. What we're really worried about is if it was, an actual wall of your building fell down, now you're going to try and fix it back up with one of these things. That's what's the problem, not simply when it's a temporary type wall. So, right, so there's that. So now we solved that issue in regards to how it works with regards to the utensils. So now turning on to Mem Dalet Amud Bet. So then why in one case are you allowed the person to make the wall in the case of sukkah, but you can't use them for the case of Erevin? Like, well, why is... Right? Well, why is that the case? Like, why is a human good in one case, not the other one? Which is, again, this is the original thing we were asking about. Are you allowed to make a human wall? So, Adam, Lam, no kasha. No, it's not an issue. So the question is when you're allowed to use a human being as a wall, is you're only allowed to do so unknowingly, but knowingly, then it's a problem. So to relate that to our case, if people happen to say, okay, everybody, let's go out for a nice walk, and then you happen to notice that, oh look, Nechemi happens to be here, and then you say, hey, everybody surrounds me, Nechemi, how you doing? Then Nechemi can quickly make a break for the slope. But you couldn't, ideally tell everybody, okay, everybody, you stand here, you stand here, you stand here, you stand here, so Nechemi can come back into the slum. That would be a problem. So, v'ha, the Rabbi Nechemi bar, the Rabbi Chanan lied. L'datava, right? So, Rabbi Nechemi's case. So, didn't he tell him to do it intentionally? Shalom edad hava. No. They were simply recommending it. So, when we had the whole discussion, what was going on there with Rabbi Nechemi, it was actually, so the Tanaim were debating how to do it, and they weren't going to tell anybody how to, they were going to try and do the trick of, let's all go say hi to Rabbi Nechemia and not actually tell them what's going on. That way, Rabbi Nechemia can come back in. So that's how you would solve that issue. By, again, it's weird to do the type of harama, but I guess that's what we have to do. So Rav Chisda miel da'atava. Rav Chisda seemingly did so knowingly. Right, when he gave the recommendation. Rav Chisda shalom and minyan hava. No, because that's fine, because Rav Chisda may have been arranging things, but he wasn't actually one of the people who were part of the group that made the human wall. So since he didn't actually, wasn't part of making the human wall, therefore it's permitted. Okay, so now we have another case involving human walls. So Hanahu b'nei genana da'ilu maya b'mechitza shal b'nei adam. So there were members of a wedding party who asked everybody who was present. So basically, there's somebody shel bracha happening here, and then they ran out of water and they wanted to get water from somewhere else. So they decided to try and say, okay, everybody, we're out of drinks, so let's all make walls, and that way we can bring the drinks from next door. Well, there's no air. So then Nagdinu Shmuel. Shmuel says, then Shmuel had said they should all be flogged, for doing such a public and a violation of Shabbos. So Amar Ima Amru Shalom Da'at Yomru Da'at. So he says if the Chachamim say that it works, that when we say that the Chachamim permit have if the wall happened to have been created, so that's not saying that the Chachilia do that. It means saying that they don't mean that you should be doing this. I mean that if it happened to have happened, you can even rely on it. Not that you should be ideally setting out to do such a thing. So that was why he flogged them. Okay. So now we've got another case. So Hinao Ziki Dehava Shadjan Bariskita Mukusa. So there were these flasks that were lying in the market of Mukhoz on Shabbos and they couldn't be moved. And then when Rava came by with, you know, after Shir, after he gave his lecture at his house, you know, he had a lot of people crowding around him. Basically what happened is, so this appears to be that it's basically by Rava's front door. And so basically he left some barrels of wine that, you know, outside. And then, you know, he had some servants, you know, who noticed that, who seemingly are pretty smart. And they noticed that, like, oh no, we left it outside. What are we going to do? And they saw when Rava's coming with everybody a lot of people, whether maybe he was giving a shear, maybe he was just invited a lot of people over for lunch, whichever it was. And then his attendants, you know, utilized the people and snuck in the extra barrels. So, and then the next week, the same thing happened. The next job is the attendants try to do the same thing. And then Rava said, don't you do that to have a like Iladat, because then it basically means that his attendants knew what was going to happen, and also the people would start noticing as well. So therefore, it would be considered to be ledaat, as in done intentionally, and therefore he prohibited it. So therefore, that shows us that you're allowed to, that human traditions work as walls, but they should not be used ideally. So back to the sukkah case. So let's say you made a sukkah in your backyard. You just, again, this. Not really so relevant if you're living in Canada, because you would never think of only having a wall, only having two good walls and then having one flimsy wall, because, you know, the weather will get in and you'll have a miserable time on Sukkot. But assuming you're in a warmer climate, let's say Israel, then where oftentimes people do have that. Let's say, you know, they have the corner of their house and they put, you know, like a something very flimsy for the third wall. So let's say, and then it happens to have fallen over on Shabbos. So, right, so instead, if you wanted to use it, so you shouldn't tell the person, by the way, stand here, you're being used as my mechitza, so the way I can eat my sukkah. But instead, you know, you start talking to them, you put their chair right there, and, you know, that way they happen to be used as the wall. And then you can, while they're standing there, you can quickly eat, and then, you know, and then, uh, then no one's the wiser. Just have to make sure that you eat quickly before he happens to move, and then again, you'll be in luck with two walls instead of three.
Rabbi, sorry, maybe I missed this, but even Bedi'evid, when is it open? Isn't that bonnet? Like, how are you able to? I mean, it's not really building, but maybe if you're creating a wall, where's the cooler for that?
The cool is because your building was a person, it's not considered to be, it's not real building, is the answer. Is that because it's not this, because a person, if you moved a person or moved an item to a location, it's not considered to be you've built anything. As in, if I walk from here to there, right? So, as in, like, I haven't done any, unless I violated Tchum or doing outside of the process, but as far as, you know, construction wise goes, I simply walked. So, you know, like, yes, now there's a human wall there, but it's not a real wall because it can't stay there forever. It'll move the second that somebody decides that they're bored.
Right. But before you had a wall, now you have a wall. I mean, it's not, you're right, it's not construction. It's a strange concept. It's a very strange concept.
Correct. Which is why it's a very big situation, which you would never recommend somebody to do. You should not, because we generally don't like using humans as walls, especially not halacha. And also because, you know, it'd be a little cruel, as in, like, if you made a human wall sukkah, that just seems a little mean. Don't recommend against doing so. We're talking about a very bedi'evid case that in theory it could work. You should definitely not do this because excellent question. Yeah. So now we're gonna have one last case along with them before we go to the, Mishnah. So Levi Ailu Le Tivna, Zira Asbasta, Rav Shimi Barchia Maya. So now we say that for Levi, he had he pulled a similar trick to what happened with Rava with regards to people who were having him standing around, and then he snuck in some straw. Ziri did a similar thing with Asbasta, which is a type of fodder. And Rav Shimi Barchia did the same trick with water. But again, you can do it. This is one of those tricks you can do once, but you can't do it frequently, or it'll lead to problems. Because once people are aware of it, it no longer works, which would make what everything that you were trying to do pointless. Okay, so now we're starting a new Mishnah. We're talking about the case of somebody having left, having lit, different cases of left tchum, where it's supposed to before where you get stuck. Now we're talking about cases where you're not stuck. Okay, so Mishu Yatza Birshut, Vamrulo, So a person left the tchum in order to save somebody's life, or in order to satisfy by the nemun, as is mentioned. In terms of the nemun, so it's meant that and how the process goes, that's discussed in Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. And just as far as going to save people, so that is mentioned in Mor Shabbos as well as here, which we'll get to in the Gemara. So in those cases, if somebody told you while you're on the way, by the way, it's already taken care of, so you get 2,000 amot from wherever you are when you're told that it's already been resolved. And if you happen to have not yet left the tchum of the original city, then he may return to his original location. Anybody who had left in order to save somebody's life, they are able to return to their original location. So again, we'll hopefully discuss some more halachic meanings of this as the Gemara discusses it. For now, let's go to the Gemara, and then we will hopefully see some things in regards to that. So, my im hayav tocha tchum kilo lo yatsa. What do we mean that if you were within the tchum, it's as if you never left? So, amarabba hachikam. That's what we mean to say. Im hayav tocha tchum shalo, kilo lo yatsa matoch beto dami. So Rabba says that if he happened to have been within the tchum, as if he never left his house, and therefore his tchum isn't reset from where he happened to be told. In fact, but instead he still has his original tchum based on it centered around his house. Shita, isn't it obvious he didn't leave the tchum? Well, why would you say that his tchum would change? No. So you may have thought that since he had in mind that he's changing his location, he says, I'm not here for Shabbos anymore. I'm going to be where I need to be in order to save the person's life, or for the purposes of testifying about the new moon, so that the will have the right month. So you may have thought that since he had in mind that he's leaving, that he lost his his home as being his location for Shabbos. Mashmalan, that's not the case. Rav Shimi bar Chiya Amar Hachi Kamar Imaya Tchumin Shenat No Lo Chachamim Muvlaim Betoch Tchum Shalau Kilo Yatsa Betchumu. So Rav Shimi bar Chiya actually has a different interpretation of this whole story. He says that it's actually based on he's still within the tchum, because that's super obvious. Rather, he's saying that when you redraw the 2,000 amo from where he's told, if that 2,000 circle, right, think of a diagram, right, if the one circle then overlaps with the previous circle, then we're good, right? And then, so is it not that you only do that, so does that mean that that's a much bigger kula? So what is the argument between Rabba and Rav Shimi bar Chiya? Right, Rabba said you only get 2,000 from where you are versus Rav Shimi bar Chiya says you get 2,000 from where you are, and then if it happens to cross your original tchum, you can go back to your original tchum. So what are they arguing about? Mar Savar Havla Tchum and Miltahi. Mar Savar Lav Miltahi. So one says that overlapping tchumin is a valid concept. The one says that that's not a valid concept. Or in the more literal sense, one says that overlapping tchumin is a thing, and the other one says that it is not a thing, because milta is thing. So yeah. Okay. So Amar Leah Baye LeRabba Va'at Lo Tispara Davla Tchumin Milta. So then Abaye turns around and says, wait, you don't believe that there's such a thing as overlapping tchums? That you Ma ilu shabak b'ma'ara uvtocha arbat alafim v'al hagag b'chom arbat alafim ma'ma lo nimsa mahalecha kula v'chutzla alpai ma'ma. So he's saying, what do you mean that you don't hold of overlapping limits? What if a person decided to spend Shabbat or Yom Tov in a cave, and then here we go. Let me share from Parish Chai, because this is we've got a good diagram here. Everybody sees this. So the overlapping Havlat Chum, right, is the right. So this is one person's Chum, this is the other person's Chum. Everybody sees that, and then we're talking about the case in the right. So that was that case, and now we're comparing it to the case where somebody is residing in a cave system. So that basically is 4,000 on the bottom. So therefore, if you had drawn your 2,000 amma with you at the center, right? So therefore, it would just get you basically to the ends, and above. By the entrances to it is actually, I think we're reviewing this from like, let's review this from above, or if not, this is a really weird structure for a cave to have, right? So let's pretend it's carved out into a cliff face, and we slice off the whole top of it. So right, so this is a nice little cave he has. He's got some entrances on each side. So wouldn't we say that he gets 2,000 amo from each side of the each entrance to the cave? So don't you say that you get the whole area that you're residing in, i.e. the cave, you get the 4,000, you get 2,000 amo around you there, and then you also would get from the entrances, you get 2,000 amo. So Amrlei, v'lo shavi leid bein hachal deshavat bavir mechitzav mibod yom, The rabbi turns around to Abaye and says, what do you mean? Are you saying you should distinguish between a case where you had been in the petition before Shabbos versus when you're not? So in the case when you're deciding to spend Shabbos in a cave, the reason why you get, 2,000 amot outside the partitions is because, outside all the walls, is because you're residing there. So it's as if they're the walls of your house. And that's why that works. It has nothing to do with what you're saying. That it has nothing to do with the question of Havlat Chumen. It's a question of the fact that you have the walls already. So the Heichad Lo Shabbat Lo. Wait, so the Maya says, are you saying that Havlat Chumen doesn't apply with where you didn't intentionally make a residence there? So you're saying that it only applies. So therefore it only apply that it's on. Okay, so I think we'll. Okay, so I'll leave this part off for now, so we can actually do some review. And also, I think tomorrow I might also be a couple minutes late. Hopefully not. Hopefully I'll have worked out my directional sense a little bit better. But if I am, I apologize. I apologize in advance. Also, hopefully give at some point I'll discuss a little bit about how bike riding relates to Tchumen. So instead, let's just let me go back to the. To sum up using pictures, since we're finally back in the we're back in the business of pictures, so we may as well enjoy it. So we're talking about the human wall trick. So here's a right. So this is that would be over here, right? We've got people basically surrounding. This would be the person, the little dot, and then you're trying to see do you get all the way there or not? So we're trying to figure out would that work or not. So we discussed the case of making walls using so it's a third wall for a tent using by putting a blanket over a bed frame. We discussed using humans for it, using items for it. We also discussed the question of putting in shutters and whether or not that's allowed or not, and have machloket between Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. We discussed the case of using the animal as a wall, such as in this wonderful case, right? And the question is, are we worried about the animal moving or not? We also discussed the case of the trying to sneak in the containers of fluid, I think. So it appears that Korper Shalai, he went with the wine containers are actually made out of a whole piece of animal hide, and then you tie up the corners of the, basically if you skinned it in whole, then you simply tie up the corners, and you have a very convenient and very very good and waterproof container. So again, the question is are you allowed to look at Chilo or line this human wall that we have here, right? So basically this is currently Shatarabim, and the house is, let's say, over here. So now you want to bring it from the, from where people are inside. We said you're only allowed to use that trick in the case. It's only allowed to use that trick, me bidi. And then, meaning like an shlomida, like you shouldn't ideally do that trick, and you can only do it when people aren't aware of it. And once people start being aware of it, it's a problem, which is why Rava didn't say anything when he noticed his attendance doing it the first time. The second time he said you shouldn't do that. As far as whether or not this is an accurate representation of how people dressed in the 3rd century and 4th century and 5th century, I will not comment, except to say that probably not. For more on how they dress for that, please see back to Gemara Shabbos about Ishiyot Seid, right, for what women go out when, as well as what men would go out on Shabbos, see what the dress used to be in the time of the Gemara and the Mishnah. Anyways, then we discussed the question of overlapping tchumen. Is that means that if you have a tchum, you get 2,000 amos? So the question is, how does that work? So if you'd gone out to save somebody or you'd gone out to testify this month, you said you get 2,000 amos from where that winds up being. Then we had a debate as to whether or not when we say that if you have to be close enough to where you started, you don't have to leave. So were we saying that you have the 2,000 amot from the, just only if you're within the original 1,000 amot, or that's one opinion. The other opinion is that as long as you, of overlapping tchum, as long as your new tchum that you get overlaps the original tchum that you then can return home. And then we discussed saying, trying to compare that to the case of where you had been at, in a cave, and we said that you can't compare that you can't compare the case of a cave and the tchum that relates to the cave, because the case of the cave is a case where we have existing walls that you decided to rest in before Shabbos, but in our case there are no walls being involved. It's just a question of tchum, and we had left the question of tchum unresolved, and we'll hopefully return to that tomorrow as we continue on with Daf Mem Hei.
Thank you.
Thank you. The sugya about standing person in the opening is part of what I was telling you about Erevin and Tshuva. It's Omeid Baparetz. It goes back to the Pasuk in Yechezkel. I need to do this Russia for you. I don't know if you have time. When you have time,
we can give it to me. Let me end the report.